It is just an accident of timing that the Ashland Independent Film Festival opens on the same day as our fun drive every spring. Think of them as dual celebrations of the arts and information. And the images filling the screens of the film festival are often stunning. One example, the images of women and girls all dressed in pink and saffron robes. They are nuns at a monastery in Myanmar, Burma, if you prefer. A short documentary about them showing at the festival is called A Thousand Mothers, and we're joined by Kim Shelton, the director. Kim, good to meet you.
Good morning.
And Joanne Feinberg is the producer of the film, and the name should sound familiar because she's also the former program director at the Ashland Independent Film Festival. So, Joanne, always good to see you in the studio.
Good to see you, too.
So how did you guys come upon the story that is told in this film?
Well, I think it really started about 4 years ago when I was at a meditation retreat in a monastery in Myanmar, and it was really a difficult experience, but the one highlight of it was meeting one of those young nuns every morning, really in the morning, and taking a little walk, and there's just something about that experience that stayed with me once I left. I didn't think at the time about making a film, but I thought about her and their lives later and thought, nobody knows about these young nuns living this life in this country. Even the people in Burma don't really know. So that sparked it, and then I went back and made a film.
And what's the name of the place? I'm struggling with the pronunciation here.
Sagaing.
Sagaing, okay.
Yeah, it's in the northern part of the country, up in the near Mandalay.
And I get the sense that this is a rather off the beaten path.
It is. It's this actual area. This area has about 200 really old monasteries and nunneries, and in fact, it's the oldest place in the world now where they still have the Buddhism is practiced in this way.
How far back does it go?
I don't know. I mean, they've been there. I mean, these particular buildings have been there at least several hundred years. But before that, I'm sure there were other things happening.
And how much or how little interaction does this monastery have with the outside world?
Not very much. People from the outside world come in a lot because they want to get the blessings from the nuns, or they give gifts to the nuns, and then the nuns leave twice a week on alms round to go get their food. That's the way they get their food, is by just going out in the different small towns, just getting their food every morning. So they don't have a lot, yeah.
Which is essentially begging, alms rounds.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The film is really intimate. I want to thank you for providing a screener to us on Vimeo, so we had a chance to get a sense of it. It's 39 minutes long.
That's
together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say it's very intimate is because the opening scenes are people getting their heads shaved from very close angles.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right there on top of the razor, essentially. And but then what gets revealed is that the heads being shaved are both, they can be everything from very young girls to very old men. Mm-hmm. So are all these people together, is this all one monastery?
It's all one nunnery, so they're all women, and they're, I think the youngest was 7, and the oldest, the head nun, was in her late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So often they come, and then they'll stay their whole lives, but then sometimes they do leave, and then some of the ones that leave, usually around teenage years, they do come back. But the ones that are very young are, many of them are orphans. And there really is no place for them to go, so the nuns really provide a safe environment, education, food for them.
One girl, and this is all, is there any narration in here?
It's no narration. It's just from their own, it's subtitled, but it's all their own words.
Right. So it does require people to read the screen. You can't be looking at your text messages and stuff while you're watching A Thousand Mothers, which is rude behavior anyway in the theater. I just want to point that out.
Right, right.
One girl says she knew she wanted to be a nun the first time she saw one.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see that she said why. And I'm curious to know what the attraction is.
You know, I don't know. I can imagine that for her, she probably lived in a poverty and saw a way out, and just saw a lot of them. I mean, the nuns are held up, you know, with higher esteem. And, if I lived like that, then I'd live somewhere else. Somebody would take care of me. And probably that was what she was really thinking.
Kim Shelton's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the director of the film A Thousand Mothers, a documentary about a monastery in Myanmar, Burma. It's a 39-minute movie, and Joanne Feinberg, the producer of the film, the former program director at the Ashland Independent Film Festival, is here in the studio with us as well. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I don't know if you've ever come into the orbit of Fred Stockwell, who runs this program out of Ashland called...
Yeah, I have. Uh-huh. I've never met him, but I've heard about what he's doing, yeah, which is great.
Eyes to Burma, where he's dealing with people who actually aren't in Burma itself, but I believe on the other side of the border in Thailand, living in a garbage dump, essentially.
Right.
But so he saw the crushing poverty in that part of the world, and I have to, and I, is that where some of the girls in the monastery would have gone if they had not been nuns?
I mean, who knows? Possibly, yeah. Or you know, trafficking. There's all kinds of things that are happening. So I don't know. And I know that there was a cyclone about 8 years ago in that country. And so a lot of the orphans are from, the parents were killed, and so they're from that.
Is this monastery a one-of-a-kind place, or are there others like it throughout the country?
I think there are about 50,000 nuns in Myanmar, and there are 500,000 monks. So they're around the country, yeah.
So the meaning of the title, A Thousand Mothers, seems to collect slowly in the first few minutes. Can we hit the nail a little more firmly on the head and have you tell us what you mean by it?
Well, for me, one of the girls says that we are the daughters of a thousand mothers, all... daughters of a thousand mothers. But I felt like they are all there to take care of each other. The young ones take care of the older ones take care of the younger ones. And they were all their own mothers. So that's what it meant for us.
You mentioned the alms rounds where they go out and collect food. So this is how they feed themselves. But, I mean, how do they get the clothing, all the pink robes? I mean, there's the bedding, things like that.
Well, in the alms round, they'll also put money. People will come in and bring things to them. They'll bring money or they'll bring other foods. And so with that money, they'll go out and they'll buy supplementary food or fruits or just things that to add to, because all they will get is rice in their bowls, and then the monks of course get hot food and everything else, but the girls only get rice.
Why is that?
Because they're second class citizens. Yeah, they are not revered as the way the monks are. So people give more to the monks because then that elevates sort of their status in Buddhism and helps them with their what they call merit and their.
So you get bigger brownie points, for lack of a better term, by helping out the monks than you do by helping out the nuns.
If you're a monk, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yep. What kind of education do the girls get as they grow?
The younger ones actually left the monastery every day to go to a school, which we did not film there. I mean, the first day they left to go to the school, and then a few days later we said, well, can we go to the school? And they said, oh, well, they're on a 10-day break. So we never got to the school. But they spend a lot of time studying and chanting and reading the scriptures. So for them, that's also study of learning English some that way, but learning the Buddhism through chanting and studying scriptures.
There's a portion in the first minute of the film that it is quite gripping. It's before you actually see anybody say anything in the subtitles, and it is just the sounds that you layer very well into kind of an overall drone of all these people reading, I assume, religious texts.
Yeah, reading the Buddhist words, And it is kind of a drone. It does just sort of go on, and that's kind of the background sound all the time.
It's always there.
Yeah.
All day, all night. Well, not all night, obviously.
Well, night, too.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how ascetic a life is this? I mean, they're dressed reasonably well, but they're always wearing the pink and saffron robes and whatever else underneath to keep them warm, I notice.
Yeah. Well, and it's also very hot there, so I don't think they...
I saw one of them wearing a sweater, which is why I say
they
stuff
do
underneath.
Can wear sweaters. They do fold up pink towels and put them on their head, you know, which is, they can't wear hats, but they put like a little towel on their head early in the morning when they go out. So just, yeah, but they, you know, and they all sleep together on just 2-inch mattresses that are on just pieces of plywood and on the floors. So it's two meals a day. So it's very, a very, very simple life.
And yet, in spite of the level of simplicity and the intense religious instruction that's clearly going on, the girls are girls.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
yeah.
very, they play games with each yeah. other. They, you know, they clap yeah. their hands over each yeah. other's eyes, you know, yeah. guess who, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that,
and
that
that's was,
every...
it was very nice to see that. And it was really nice to see the older nuns, especially the head nun. They were not disciplining them and telling them to do, they just let them be kids. And, you know, I thought that was great.
Kim Shelton, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, her documentary film about a monastery with many nuns, some of them as young as 7 years old in Myanmar, Burma, is 1,000 Mothers. It's airing at the airing screening at the Ashland Independent Film Festival, which is running through from today through Sunday?
Monday,
okay, at the in Ashland. Joanne Feinberg is the producer of the film as well and the former program director at the festival. You can join us if you'd like to talk about this particular project or the festival more broadly. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. As long as you're sitting here, Joanne, and we're talking about the festival more generally, you were the person who put the festival together until, what, 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And how's mm-hmm. life been after programming a massive film festival?
Life has been a very different schedule. So, yeah, the not having that build up every April, it's been nice to have a little more evenness to the year. But I'm now on the other side of the camera, and that's what I used to do 20 years ago before I started, had kids, and joined the festival. And I'm really loving that experience. It's a different kind of creative process, and I'm relearning a lot of skills that I knew many years ago and enjoying really working with filmmakers like Kim.
You mentioned when you came in that you weren't on location for the shooting of 1,000 Mothers, but you are acting as the producer of it. So are there many projects that you're currently part of?
There are. I'm producing, working with some documentarians, helping them produce, and that there's such a variety to what a producer does. With Kim, I came in after she had filmed all the footage and started helping her get nonprofit status so she can accept donations on behalf of the nuns that she has been sending to the nunnery. I've worked on social media for her website. Festival submissions is a big part since I have some good experience on that end. But I have a project I'm working on with another producer who's in the very, very beginning stages of her project. So we're conceptualizing the film and I'm helping her work on that end. And then I'm doing projects of my own as well.
It seems like in a world that even though media has scattered so much, there's so much fragmentation. You can watch news on TV, for example, in so many different flavors. But the documentaries have not only held their own, but they seem, at least in the perspective of somebody who works in a town where there's a film festival, to be on the rise.
I agree. I don't know, Kim, mm-hmm. if you feel the same, but there's so many new outlets and appreciation for mm-hmm. documentary storytelling. That's just really exciting to see. You know, the New York Times has a weekly op-ed doc, and I think that just speaks volumes.
You got the New Yorker doing TV shows
New Yorker,
and stuff, too. Yeah,
yeah.
All kinds
yeah.
of stuff like that. So, Kim, what were some of the other projects you'd worked on through your career?
Well, I started with cowboys.
Cowboys and nuns.
From cowboys to nuns, and very, very different. Sudanese refugees that had resettled in Seattle, a potter living in a town in Tuscarora, Nevada, who, that from that to teenagers doing a vision quest. What else?
Vietnam vets
oh, yeah,
in Ashland.
Right, The Welcome, which screened in at the festival here in 2011.
11, yeah. And won the Audience Award, yeah. Ashland.
Okay.
Independent
okay.
Festival.
So certainly some experience with the festival. How welcoming were the people at the monastery? Was it sure come on in, or was there a certain amount of negotiating before they'd let you come in with the camera?
They didn't really know what. Well, I went there first about eight months before because I really wanted to see what I did. Do I want to do this, and where do I want to do it? And the nunnery that I chose, they said sure. Yeah, we'll see you. But I asked them at the end of the film what they thought it was going to be like when I came back. And they said, oh, they laughed. And they said, well, I thought you'd take your cell phone and just hold it up and just walk around. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I know it was really disruptive. And she said, yeah, you know, it was disruptive, but it was okay. It's their duty to receive me. And they were so generous and tried to feed us all the time. They have no money, but we couldn't sit down without having a meal come near us. So that was one of our things.
You learned to stand up.
We walk in and I'd say, don't sit down, you know, to the crew. And they would we had trouble with. They had some workers making a lot of noise, so we'd have to have breaks because we were doing interview, and the sound was really loud. And the nuns were noticing that we were having these breaks, and they started going out and telling the guys to take the breaks themselves. And I said, no, absolutely not. You know, please don't do that. You know, so they were really great, really, really warm, generous people.
You get the sense after a while that going into this monastery is like going into a very, admittedly very large, but a family home.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was very welcoming. Just, you know, they're really just you know, trying to be generous, trying to be really kind people, and you feel it. You know, you definitely feel it.
Joanne had said that she helped you set up a 501c3, so you could actually funnel donations back to the monastery. So you've become a bit of a conduit for aid to them.
That's starting in that way, yeah. Because mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that once this film was done, that if people saw it anywhere around the world and said, oh, wow, I want to be able to help nuns in Myanmar. How do I do it? I needed to have a way for people to do that. So,
given the bumpy political situation that frequently exists in that country, have there been any concerns over the years about things continuing at that monastery, or any concerns about pressures on the people who go there?
I don't think so. You know, we did have concerns about filming there because prior to when we got there, I had heard about some people who were shut down in Yangon filming, and so we didn't know if we'd even be able to get through the country with the camera equipment, and we didn't get a permit. I did not get a permit on purpose, just so I knew that if they could easily say, I'm sorry, what are you doing? You know, you can't do that. But I think it's because we were women. They didn't really pay attention to us.
So second classness helped you
in
a sense?
So we sort of went through, and even though the camera person is 6'2", and she towers over everyone, men and women, you couldn't, and we were out on the streets filming some, and we saw policemen, but they, you know, those girls, you know, they didn't really pay attention.
Wow. You chose not to have a narrator, we mentioned that, mm-hmm. just subtitles, the music is minimal, and how easy were these choices to make?
Well, I didn't. I wanted to get inside as much as possible, so not having a narration. In fact, one of the hardest parts about the film was doing the translation, because that was, I think we had about 6 translators working with, because for whatever reason, I'd start with some students at UC Berkeley, and they'd be able to work, and then all of a sudden, an exam would come up, and I'd have to get someone else, and then. Within the speaking, there's some words, Pali words, which are words of the Buddha's time that no one knew how to translate. So we had a lot more trouble than I thought. We had an easy shoot, and then the edit was difficult.
So. Wow, it's such a visually beautiful film,
and you
can't avoid the pink of the mm-hmm. of the robes. John in Ashland writes, "A Thousand Mothers sounds like a fascinating film. Is it appropriate for kids to see?"
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Definitely.
No, nobody swears, and if they did, it would be in subtitles anyway.
Right. And they don't swear. They watch their speech.
Okay. Very, very careful. This is quite a journey for you, it sounds like. More than just making the film, a bit of a journey of your own discovery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, I want to go back and take the film to them. I mean, I'm thinking that they're probably, what film? Oh, yeah. What? They have no idea. Absolutely no idea.
Wow. You know? So what's the day that Thousand Mothers, day or days that Thousand Mothers screens at the festival, Joanne Feinberg?
The premiere is Sunday night at 6:40, and it's part of a short doc program called Finding Refuge, which is a really beautiful theme. And then it plays again on Monday morning at 10:10.
Okay, so Sunday evening and Monday morning at the Ashland Independent Film Festival, A Thousand Mothers. Kim Shelton, the director, Joanne Feinberg, the producer, and the former program director at the Ashland Independent Film Festival. Good to see you both. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.